It's time for the Crime Report. It is brought to you by the Crime Stoppers of the county. 1-800-220-TIPS. That's 1-800-220-8477. It's where all calls kept confidential. Also, monetary reward issued in some cases. So, to $5,000 for information that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacklin, of course, a retired sergeant, NYPD, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor at John Jay College, and author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, a guy who investigated, is just finishing the fourth edition. And Joe will be working on for a fifth, no question about it there. We'll talk about that. Joe, highly decorated member in the day of the NYPD, including the most notable Department of Medal of Valor. We say a very good morning to the Sarge. Joseph, how are you on this Friday?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Lots of happening, my friend. I'm doing well. Let's get right to it. You know, one of the more horrific stories we'll ever have to talk about is what happened in Coney Island, Joe. The surf there, the mother, and the three kids, she allegedly drowned. I mean, does it get worse than that? My goodness.
No, I mean, they've now charged her with three counts of murder. And, you know, you saw the photos of the cops, you know, carrying these kids across the beach, trying to get them up to the boardwalk. You know, you just hope that, you know, they need to get a little mental health attention themselves. It's a tough situation. Any time you run into somebody that has been murdered like that or whatever, it's tough. But when you're dealing with young kids, it's always even tougher. And to have three of them in one incident like that, I think for the first responders, it's a tough situation, and that they need to make sure that they get some mental health that they're going to need. But, you know, here's a long history of mental health of this woman. She's still, ACS had a case open on her that they closed recently. You know, there's lots of questions that need to be answered here, and just like everything else, you know, ACS or BCW, which is formerly called the Bureau of Child Welfare, you know, is at front and center of one of these incidents. So, you know, we've seen this time and time again. It just keeps on happening. I mean, yeah, they do a good job in the respect that they get, you know, hundreds and hundreds of cases, but when the one slips through the cracks, it's generally awful, and they're going to need to get some answers on what happened here.
I always say, where are the family members here? Did they not notice this 30-year-old Aaron Murdy was mentally ill? You know, say something. See something. Say something. My goodness. This is not like an overnight revelation, I am sure. This is tough. This is a very tough situation. And yet somebody has to tell me nobody recognized this, Joe?
Well, they have actually had some people come forward and saying that, you know, they had said that she's not mentally stable, but you know, the issue that comes down to is, you know, so many cases, so many people, they try to prioritize which individual is, you know, at most risk, and it's a very difficult task. And you hear, I think the kids have three different fathers. So we need to find out what happened in those cases in regards to, was there any court appearances about trying to get custody of the kids because of this and this. And I think this will all play out. But, you know, it's not going to bring these three young lives back, and it's just a tragedy all around.
Question. It's just such a, I don't know, can't even describe it. You run out of adjectives regarding this stuff at this point in time. The Sarge with us, the crime report. It's just tough, tough case. Let's go to Hempstead. What happened there as well with a 19-year-old, Joe, being shot outside of a McDonald's? Gang related? Do we have any? We don't have any suspects in this case yet.
Well, we don't even have the identity yet. What the police did say a few hours ago is that the officer who was assigned to that McDonald's at after school, because apparently that McDonald's is like a hot spot for kids to go to after school, was called out on another job. So, you know, for me, I have to think about you know, what was that call, and was the call legitimate? Right? Was this a setup where they do say that the kid was targeted. So we know that. And, I mean, we could speculate all day long, but, I mean, until all the facts come out, we'll keep that to ourselves. But the issue that comes down to is that you know, did the suspects call 911 to divert the police away from the McDonald's so that they could do the shooting? Because the shooting happens shortly after this cop is not there. So, to me, that's worth looking into.
Yes, and that's a location, you know, it's after school, lots of kids, usually you got an officer there. And then this guy was, you know, this officer was called to the scene of another issue. So, you know, and somebody's always there, right? I mean, from what I read, somebody is always there as far as when school lets out, right?
Well, they need to change the policy then, right? When something happens. Excuse me. So, you know, if something happens where that officer is on that fixer, they can't move. 911 call, now someone else is going to have to pick it up.
So, obviously a very intense ongoing situation with this investigation. Joe Jacklin on the crime report. Joe, let's go to the Valva stuff. Finally got your jurors in play here with the 12 and the 6 alternates. I thought it would take more time, but they got it going. And they'll start opening statements, I think, on the 28th of the month. Here we go. You know, there's a case, obviously, that has been in the spotlight, rightfully so, for the last couple of years, ever since this young Thomas Valva, the 8-year-old, died of hypothermia in that garage. Terrible. 19 degrees, yeah. January 17th, 2020. And also, the revelation, we'll have two separate trials here going, Joe.
Yeah, I was totally wrong on that. I didn't think that they would split them, but they have. I think last week I said I think they were going to keep them together. But you know, for the defense, I think that's a win for her. You know, he's the main suspect in this whole thing, but still, she is culpable in so many ways, and I think the prosecutor's going to be easily able to prove that. It's going to be a god awful gut wrenching case. I mean, I'm going to follow it. I know you will too, but it's just, we should never forget what happened with this poor kid. And here's the other thing, Jay. Remember all the problems with the ACS and stuff on this one, too, right? So here we are, front and center again. Another case where, you know, falls through the cracks and we don't hear the end of the investigation. So, you know, we need to fix this system, and we need to protect the kids. Our children and senior citizens are the most vulnerable in society, and we need to make sure that the services that they get and the investigations they have are top notch.
No question, without question there. You know, listen, there's going to be a lot of things revisited here, and we saw all the horrific information that has come out, the mother and everything else, Justina. We cover this, you know, left and right, and now it gets underway in the next couple of weeks. So I thought it was a good job trying to get 12 people in play here.
Oh, God, yeah.
Of nonpartisan in nature. Very tough to do. Very tough to do. As you know, Joe, better than anyone.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm actually, like you said, impressed that they were able to do this quickly. I mean, how do you not know about this case, live on Long Island, and not know about it? I mean, it's going to be interesting, and like I said, we won't know who the jurors are unless they come forward themselves, and they might after the trial. But it would be interesting to find out exactly, you know, who they were and how they came about doing this, because like I said, how do you not know about this case?
No question. And obviously, everything being revamped as far as those who are on the job and trying to recognize a situation of this nature as it was with the Valva home there. Joe Jacklin, the crime report. We'll go to one other sidebar here with Ed Mangano reporting the prison on Wednesday. Wife Linda last week. So, you know, another highly publicized case. Back and forth, waiting for some sort of appeal on the bail and, you know, still corruption stuff being you know, kind of bucked around federally, but none the case, you know, it was the fact, the mantra that Ed Mangano head to prison, and that's what he did on Wednesday, Joe.
Yeah, and you know what, deservedly so. And the other issue that comes down to is that, remember, this was all during the COVID incident, all the jockeying around by the defense attorneys. I tell you, the defense attorneys did a great job just, you know, pushing this thing off. I mean, we're actually talking about pushing off the inevitable. But, you know, they did exactly what we expect, you know, a defense lawyer to do for us if we get hired. So, you know, the issue that comes down to is we shouldn't be surprised by this, but we keep on seeing corruption happening all the time, and we need to make sure that the message gets sent, that if you're a politician and you participate in this stuff and we catch you, you're going to jail. And I think that's the message that is sent here, and I think it's a good one. It's a good deterrent factor, and I think it needs to be used more often.
You know, that I know, you know, they feel sorry for me, again, but you know what? Here's the deal. You know, you sit in the power chair and you abuse it, you know, you get what you deserve. $20 million in loans, you know, new chairs, new floors, new watches, no-show job for the wife, $450K. We can go on and on and on here. You know, you abuse the power of which you were sworn into by the residents to provide. Guess what? You got to pay the consequences. That's what happened here. You know, listen, we have seen a long, long line of corruptive practices in this state. You go back to the Skelloses on Long Island, you know, with Dean and Adam. Go to the Prococo stuff, the Elaine Killeros, as far as Buffalo Billions, Shelley Silver. You go on and on here.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it goes on and on, Joe. It's amazing.
The list is long. New York
it really
politics
is.
And it's just, you know, it's awful, actually. I mean, you can't really even describe it. But we keep on electing some of these individuals over and over again. And it's just, it's a shame that either people, you know, stick with party lines and they do this stuff, or they don't know about the candidates I'm engaging my students now to register and vote. They don't vote. I mean, these kids at 18, 19, 20, 21 years never voted their whole lives before. And we try to say, well, listen, this is part of the democratic process. And you can't complain about some of these people that get voted in if you don't go out and vote. So, yeah. You know, it's really wild.
And I'm just curious. Joe, as a sidebar, you know, he's a professor at John Jay. You know, and I'm just curious. You know, you got an upcoming gubernatorial that is huge. You know, one of the more important elections ever in the state, as far as I'm concerned. I've been saying it all along. I mean, are they even aware as far as, you know, some of the hot topics? I mean, obviously, crime an issue, and I'm sure you go over this in the classroom and everything else. I'm just curious. Do they know who the governor is and maybe the opponent?
No, they don't. They don't know either who they are. They don't know what's really on the table. This semester I'm teaching the use of force class, and many of them don't even know about the bail reform laws and the criminal justice reform and raise the age and everything else. It's really mind-boggling. And I always try to engage them and say, you know, where do you get your news sources from? I mean, they don't watch regular TV news. Of course, everything's on social media, and we know that you can't trust a lot of stuff that happens on social media, but you know, for the politicians out there, these kids are on TikTok, and if you're not on TikTok, trying to engage this cohort, and it's a valuable cohort that really doesn't vote. I mean, they did a show of hands in my class, and most of the kids aren't even registered to vote. So, you know, you as a teacher, you try to encourage them to vote in regards to your registered vote as part of the civic duty. Explain to them how important this is, and you know, it's difficult to motivate people to do things. It's just, but you know, maybe things will change down the road. But I don't know. But if you're a politician and you're trying to reach that 18 to 21 group, you need to be on TikTok. I mean, that's where all these kids are.
Joe Jackal on the Crime Report. Joe, a couple before we let you go, an alleged MS-13 gangman with a plea yesterday of guilty. Federal charges in connection with the 2015 Babylon killing of a suspected rival gang member. Also an attempted murder of another perceived rival in Bayshore. We've seen this one before, right, Plato?
Yeah, no, I mean, as I said, they behind the scenes, the feds and the Suffolk and Nassau County cops are constantly battering this gang. Will they ever get rid of them totally? No, they never will, but you know what? It really decimated them and it set them back, and I think this is a great thing for Long Island.
No question about it. And Joe, I got time for one more, and that is as far as what happened midweek with a grandmother involved in a killing. It was a terrible case, but a judge sentencing a guy to life in prison. 5 years, by the way, after the day of the individual used a machete to kill a cancer-stricken Levittown grandmother. Prosecutors say just got in the way. you know, it was one of those revenge plans aimed at her grandson. But the jury did convict Benjamin Lopez of murder, first and second degrees there. A horrible case the guy who wanted to get to the grandson, the woman got in the way, unfortunately. Wrong place, wrong time here.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a laundry list of the things that they got him for. First-degree murder, second-degree murder, 2 counts of first-degree robbery, 2 counts of first-degree burglary. I mean, the list just goes on and on. I mean, this is a terrible case and a really bad dude that they got. And you know what?
Yeah.
5 years, you have to probably figure out that, a lot of the COVID issues in there and the delays and everything else. But you know what? We'll see you then.
Indeed. Now, Joe has just finished the criminal investigative function. That is edition number 4, sir, and you are working on 5. Tell the folks about it.
Yeah, well, no, the 4th edition is done. It's off to the publisher. Hopefully, it'll be out before January, around January. And I signed a contract to write a new textbook, and the details I'll release them as soon as this thing is really underway, so that nobody steals the whole thing idea. So, but we're in contract for another textbook, and that'll be out. That's due actually by January 15th. So,
and
I'll be busy writing again.
And for those who don't know, the criminal investigative function is really meat and potatoes as far as what's going on in the world of crime. Joe gives you everything, the numbers, the latest statistics. He breaks it down for you. Really, there's nothing like it, folks. And people can go online and get it, right?
Yep, it's go online. Like I said, if they're interested in getting it, I would just wait till the 4th edition comes out so you get the most up-to-date information. Yeah. And, it's pretty exciting stuff. So it's a lot of work, but it's exciting.
It is incredibly informative. Joe Jacalone, the Crime Report. Crime Stoppers, ladies and gentlemen, in Suffolk County, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. That's where all calls are kept anonymous. Sir, have a great weekend. We'll chat. How's that?